Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live.
It's only just a matter of.
Welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, if you're walking through a battle right now, you may wonder, why is this happening? How will I get through this? Where is God in this? And what is He up to in the middle of it all? Well, if you listen often enough, you know every Friday of this month, I'm talking about how to be strong in battle, how to discern if we've given the enemy easy access to our lives, how to understand what God wants from us when we're in seasons of battle. Today, we're going to talk about practical application on how to come through your battles stronger than you were going into those battles. Just some practical application. Before I get to that, a couple of quick announcements. You've been hearing about it, but we've got an online study starting in September. I was wrong. I thought the study, the registration closed next week, but it's the first week of September that the registration closes. It's free. You don't need the book, and you'll get a weekly email, a little prayer audio thing from me, and information on our weekly live streams that I'll do for during the duration of the study. Again, it's free. You don't need the book. You can sign up on our website, myfaithradio.com, and I hope you'll join us because I'm super excited about it. Also, I want to ask you, because I love when you engage with me, if you had somebody who's walking now through maybe a battle that you've gone through, what would be your advice for them? I want you to text in some of your battle-ready advice that you would offer. And then I'm going to pick a few names, and we're going to send some 10 packs of cards out of my quote cards. They're really beautiful scenic cards. Like, here's one of the quotes from the book. Your trials have trained you, your mountains have strengthened you, and your dependence on God has deepened you. If you could see what God has accomplished in and through your faith, you would release a holy roar and refuse to back down from another battle ever again. I love these cards. But also, we got 5 copies to give away today. I'm super excited. Every Friday, thanks to Bethany House, and we partnered with them. We got 20 books, 20 copies of Strong in Battle we're giving away this month. So 5 more today, and you'll also get the quote card. So just text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. And, I've got that note from Angie. We'll get that taken care of, Angie. Sorry about that. Hey, just letting you in on a little conversation here. All right. So one of the things that we have to understand that the enemy tries to do, he tries to bait us into 2 extremes, either to get us into fight flight, where we're always bracing for impact, or to get us into denial and indulgence, where we're trying really hard not to feel what life is bringing up in us. And oftentimes we'll land in that fight flight or that kind of bracing for impact if we've gone through too many trials in a row and haven't had a chance to resolve those with God, and we don't really know what's coming next, so our trust has been kind of shaken with God. And that the enemy wants it that way. He wants us living with fight flight. But the other is kind of denial and indulgence, where we're just kind of, you know, indulging to numb the pain so we don't have to feel what life really is all about right now. But Scripture says that it pleases God to make you strong. And my friend Maria says this, God wants you to be a calm, confident conqueror who fears nothing, trusts God in everything, and knows that the Lord is standing up for you. And I would say that's that healthy place. You're not bracing for impact, but you're not lackadaisical with your guard down. You're engaged, you're alert, you're aware that God is on the move. The enemy is after us, but overwhelming victory belongs to us. And there is a way to navigate through life with a joyful expectancy that God is up to good things without giving the enemy too much attention, right? I'm sure you've heard about C.S. Lewis's quote that we tend to default to 2 extremes, where we, you know, ignore the devil altogether, or we obsess about the work of the devil. We magnify the Lord, right? Come on, let's magnify the Lord with me and exalt His name together. But the reality is we do have an enemy, and it's not the politician that you don't like or the neighbor who acts different than you. We have an enemy, and our battles are spiritual. This is why we need to know how to navigate in battle, how to stand strong in battle, and how to keep ourselves humble before God so we can hear His voice. Amen and amen. All right, so using the acronym BATTLE, I want to walk you through some of the things that I really learned in some of my battles that really helped me come through the battle, not jaded, not cynical, but stronger, more hopeful, more expectant. And I want that for you as well. And again, one of your assignments is to text me and say, what would be some of your battle advice for if you wanted to give somebody advice that's maybe walking through what you've walkthrough. Okay, again, the word battle as an acronym. The B is this. Know what you believe. Know what you believe, because the enemy's goal is to try to get you to question what you believe and what God has said. And, you know, his age-old questions. Did God really say? You know, are you sure you heard that right? So the only way we know what we believe is to know the word that we believe in. The word of God is the only book that is living, breathing, and active. That, you know, other books can inspire you. They can even change your life and change your thinking. But the word of God is living and active. When you open the Bible, it's like you're opening God's mouth. And especially when you pause and pray before you read the word and then you say, word of God, speak to me. You'll be amazed if you linger long enough with God as you spend time in his word. There'll be certain passages that sort of jump out at you, that kind of quicken within you. And we must not rush by those moments too quickly, because there's something there that God has for us. Maybe you've heard me tell this story. I tell it in the book. But Alan Jackson, again, who we just try to get on as often as we can. But this particular time, it was one of the first times I'd had him on. I want to say it was probably a couple of years ago, but it was in the middle of some of the worst parts of this relapse. And it was a hellish time for me. It was very, very devastating and hard, just behind the scenes with the symptoms that I was dealing with. And a lot of times stuff would surge at night. And so nights were just terrifying for me. Kev would fall asleep fast and all of a sudden the symptoms would just go out of whack and I'm pacing the floor and, oh, it was just such a nightmare. But anyway, I remember when I had him on and I asked the question that I ask my guests all the time. So, Alan, what's the Lord talking to you about these days? And he said, Susie, I'm hanging around that story where Paul appears before King Agrippa. And he says, here you've got the best evangelist of all time. He's unjustly accused, but instead of kind of shaking his fist at the injustice, he uses the opportunity to preach the gospel. And in so many words, Agrippa responds with, you almost persuaded me to become a Christian. And Alan said, Susie, I'm just thinking about how many things are in Scripture that actually God's been very clear about that I'm only almost persuaded to believe. And if you could hear me in that moment, I don't even know if you could find that particular show. It was a while ago, but my voice cracked. And I will tell you, of all the years I've worked in radio, that was one that took all of my strength and restraint not to break down and just guttural sob on the air, because I had a show to do. But it just cut me to the core, because the truth of the matter is I was wavering back and forth. I'd become double-minded. And, you know, for good reason, there's a lot of heat around the topic of healing. There are some people who say God always heals, and if you don't get your healing, you missed a step. And others are like, you're a heretic if you think God still does that today. You can understand. And being a public person, I receive a lot of strong opinions about the topic. But I want to be biblical. So I have wrestled and searched, and I think there's a solid biblical case in Scripture for miraculous healing. That said, there's a mystery. Godly people get sick and die. There is a mystery. You cannot explain away people who've died to say, you know, they'd still be with us if they had more faith. I think that's an absolutely cruel thing to say, and it's an ignorant assessment as far as I'm concerned. But I wrestle. So I'm leaning into these promises, and then the surges would happen, and I would feel like I was going to die. And you know this because I've shared it before, but in the middle of the night, one of those nights, I'd said, you've got to kill me or heal me. I don't have the bandwidth to endure many more nights like this. So that's where I was at when Alan said that. And I realized I was wavering between two opinions. And so after the show, I went face down on the floor and I did have a good cry. And I'm like, oh God, forgive me. And he reminded me of that story when Elijah gathered God's people on Mount Carmel. And these were God's chosen people who had all kinds of practicing all kinds of idolatry. And in his boldness, he said, how long will you waver between two opinions? If God is God, serve him. And if your small g gods are your God, then serve them. That's kind of my paraphrase. But he's like, make a choice already. Decide, because you're living in idolatry. And it was this epic face-off. Well, then I thought of in the book of James, it says, ask for wisdom, but then believe you're going to receive it, because a double-minded person can't expect to receive anything from the Lord. And so I start to think about, you know, there's so many things. And this, again, was like about one and a half years ago. So it was in the thick of COVID. And I was asking a lot of people just, you know, where they were at, how times were impacting them. And so many things that we were rock solid on were suddenly up for grabs. You know, it's like we had to almost ask ourselves, is it true that I'm not at the mercy of the times? I'm in the mercies of God. Is it true that I'm actually really secure in Christ? Is it true that I'm called and appointed and anointed? It's like we'd lost our roar And we needed to get our roar back. And I'm telling you, if you're wavering between two opinions about really core things as an heir of God, like God's love for you, His promise to never fail you, your identity in Him. These are the things, whether you're in a storm or not, you want to wrestle with like right now. And I will direct you to Ephesians 2. Fantastic chapter to just immerse yourself in, because there's so much in there. I mean, listen to part of this here. God is so rich in mercy. He loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, He gave us life when He raised Christ from the dead. It's only by God's grace that you've been saved. Listen to this. For He raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Him. You know what? I'd say, and as a person who's battled varying levels of insecurity a lot of my life, I don't so much anymore because I just know how desperately I need Jesus. But I will tell you, insecurity for the believer is actually an illusion. We may feel insecure at times, but if you're in Christ, Christ is in you, and you're seated in the heavenly realms with Christ. There's not a more secure place for you to be, and praise God, He doesn't yank you from your place at the table just because you forget who you are or mess up a little bit here and there. Your status is secure, not because of what you've done, but because of what Christ has done. So it seems like, and I really believe there's a strong biblical case for this, that God wants us to grow in our knowing. You know, He wants us to grow in our understanding of how solidly secure we are in Him, how deeply we're loved, how profoundly we're called, how epically we are equipped. And He wants us to grow in ever-increasing capacities to understand, I'm secure, I'm loved, I'm called, I'm promised. It's not enough to check the box and say, yeah, I get it, I'll give a nod to that. No, I'm grasping on ever-deepening levels. I'm profoundly secure. I am epically called. I am so equipped. And as we grow in that, our roar kind of comes back. So one of the ways that you come through the battle stronger, not weaker. And using battle as an acronym is to know what you believe. And I think any day is a good day to wrestle with what you believe. Have some of the tent stakes come up because of the winds have been blowing a little hard and you're a little looser and not quite as sure, not quite as anchored into the truth. I would say today's a good day to wrestle and know what you believe. We're going to pause here. And as we get ready to go to break, I want you to repeat after me. In the name of Jesus, I reject rejection. And I accept acceptance. In the name of Jesus, I reject insecurity and I embrace holy confidence. In the name of Jesus, I reject fear and I embrace perfect love. In the name of Jesus, I am in Christ and He is in me and I lack no good thing. I'm telling you, friend, be ruthless with your fears, ruthless with your insecurities. Refuse to doubt the goodness of God. Know what you believe. We'll be back in a minute. Faith Radio podcasts are produced by the listener-supported ministry of Faith Radio. If you're interested in becoming a team member, a donor to this ministry, you can support the podcast anytime and donate at myfaithradio.com. There's honey in the rock, water in the storm, down on the ground, no matter where I go. I don't need to worry now that I know everything I need, you got. There's honey. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live. We're talking strong in battle today. And specifically today, we're talking about how to walk through the battle so you come out the other side stronger, not weaker. And I've asked for some of your battle advice. I love this from Sheila. She says, I just came out of a battle where I fell short. I fell short, was clinging to scripture so tightly when the enemy was accusing and lying to me. My advice would be to cling to scripture and wield it, even when it doesn't feel like it's working, and stay close to your church leadership as they can pray for you and give you wisdom. I think that's fantastic. We got 5 copies of Strong in Battle to give away today. I'm so grateful to my publisher, Bethany House, for supplying some of these copies. Kevin and I supplied some as well. So 20 copies in the month of August we're giving away. And these will come with quote cards. They're gorgeous scenic cards with quotes on them just to encourage you, to kind of get you your roar back, you know. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. So using the word battle as an acronym, just some practical application for navigating our battles. And that first one is know what you believe, you know, wrestle with it. If you just tuned in, when the live show is over, it'll go to podcast. I want you to go back and listen because that's a really important point. Now, the second A, the A in the word battle is acclimate and activate. And I'll tell you what I mean here. You've seen those movies before. I've seen several storylines kind of written the same way, where people are on a plane and they're flying to a resort. They can't wait for their vacation. But then the plane goes down in the mountains and suddenly they're stranded. The plane is kind of crashed and people, you know, things are kind of all over the snow and they've got to somehow make their way. Well, the people that fare the best in those stories are those who assess where they're at. And instead of whining and complaining, but I wanted to be at the resort. They're like, here's where we are. I'm going to acclimate now because now we're going into survival mode. And I think often what happens when we are in battle mode is we notice those who had the flight that took them right to the resort. You know, we notice people who are living their best life while we are behind enemy lines. But the truth of the matter is this: everybody is either walking into a storm, through a storm, or out of storm. And even those who look like they skate through life and hardly ever have a problem in the world, they do. And you just may not see it and may not know about it. But we are all really kind of dumped behind enemy lines. You know, we're walking as pilgrims. We are foreigners. We're not made for this world. We're made for another world. And the sooner we acclimate, especially to the idea that even if I'm in a place right now I don't want to be, here is where I am, which means God has something for me here, something for me to do here. So acclimate. And we weaken our stance when we whine and complain or find ourselves jealous of others who seem to possess so easily what we so long for. But we all have things in our lives that we wish were different. We all have places in our life that we wish were different. And so I think if we acclimate and find ourselves going, okay, here's where I am. Now I'm going to activate my faith. What does obedience look like? And I would say strategy is different, not only on every person, but I would say for every season and sometimes every day. There are different moments where I felt like God was saying, okay, tuck yourself under my wing. And then other times he'd say, now get up and run. Now take your stand, plant your flag in the ground. We've got to discern that what the next step of obedience should be, because when we engage our faith, God will lead us in the way that we should go. And I often say this, and I've probably said this last Friday as well, the enemy is a legalist and he's going to always look for an opportunity to come against us. And one of the wide open doors we give him is jealousy, complaining, wishing we lived in someone else's story more than our own, because we just don't see it yet. As they say, if your story's not good yet, it's just because God's not done yet. And forgive me because I'm doing several different media outlets. I don't remember if I shared this on this show or not. But so you probably heard. So I had that major oral surgery a couple months ago, and I had a pretty rough appointment about a week ago to find out. I've got several more procedures ahead of me and a pain and extensive, expensive stuff. And it was pretty devastating to me. And I've got a ways to go before I'm going to be pain-free. And it was just a rough day for me, and I was bummed. And so I was talking to one of my prayer people about it. And she said, Susie, it's time to button up your narrative. And so she said, I hear you saying what the doctor was saying. And the doctor was feeling like, he's like, you need this, you need this, you need this. And he was, you know, kind of almost miffed with what a mess my mouth and jaw are. She goes, I hear you saying what the doctor says you need. But what I hear from the Lord is his saying, I will supply your needs. And it's like, as soon as she said that, I thought, you know what? I've got the promises lingering out there and I got the problems really close to the vest in here, and I needed to button it up. You know what I mean? I needed to pull the promises closer than the problems. And as soon as I did that, I'm not kidding you, within a moment, peace returned and strength returned. And I thought, I'm going to just take this one step at a time. Other people are suffering so much worse. And I know that doesn't invalidate what I'm walking through, but I'll be fine. And I mean, strength came back and perspective came back just like that. And so I would just say, as you walk through these times and you assimilate, you know, to where God has you right now, then you activate. You find faith. You find that grace space and you activate your faith and go, okay, what's next, Lord? Let's do it. All right. Okay. So B is know what you believe. A is acclimate and activate. And then T in the word battle is trust that he's training you. Trust that he's training you. As I said, there's different strategies for different seasons. And you've heard me talk about that Jeremiah passage that just won't let me go. I'm going to repeat it again. And let's just pretend that you're hearing it from me for the first time, because it fits so perfectly in this message here. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord, who've made the Lord their hope and their confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. And that word blessed is to almost, it's to put yourself under the blessing of God, to be wise enough to bless God. And to, when you trust Him, you're putting your hope and your confidence in Him. Suddenly you are like a flourishing tree with roots that are going into a life force, streams of living water. So regardless of the heat, regardless of the drought, you're not bothered by it because you have this life force coursing through you to the point where your leaves stay green while other leaves are shriveling because you've got, you're connected to Almighty God. Well, then one day I felt prompted to look on the, at the previous verse, and that's Jeremiah 17 verse 6. And it says, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. And that's the thing, is when you put your trust in man-made solutions, you actually turn away from God. You depart from God. It says he will be like a shrub in the desert, a stunted shrub in the desert, and he'll not see goodness when it comes. Now, I want you to think about that. We stunt our own growth. We kind of cut ourselves off from a life force when we turn our hearts away from God and we look to man for man-made solutions for our problems. And then it dims our spiritual vision and we don't see goodness when it comes. That's why it's worth repeating again, because our trials are training us and everything we're walking through is an opportunity to trust God. And I'm sure you're like me, where there's parts of your life where trust comes easy and other parts, not so much. Maybe you haven't had enough wins in that area. Well, it's not enough to camp in the desert to say, he's not been faithful, so I'm not going to trust him. No, this is a time to go, he will be faithful, and any day I'm going to see it. I mean, you think about the story in the Old Testament when the Israelites complained about their battles and they were glorifying their captivity in Egypt, even though back then they wanted to die. But you only brought us out here to kill us. And God charged Moses to send spies into the promised land that had been dedicated by God to God's people. And only two spies came back with a good report. And you know what? They were the only two men from their generation who were allowed to go into the promised land after all those years of wandering. There's a passage in Psalms, I wish I had the reference today, but this is my paraphrase. But in so many words, it says the Israelites refused to believe God's promise to love and care for them. So how did it go? The Israelites refused to enter the promised land. They refused to believe God's promise to care for them. So they stayed in their tents and grumbled and refused to obey the Lord. So they were angry that there was no promise written over their life because they refused to believe there was a promise written over their life. Then they crawled into the smallness of their circumstance and grumbled and refused to obey the Lord. And many scholars say their fears went from legitimate fears to rebellious fears, and they cut themselves off from the promise. And I don't want that for us. You know, these can be terrifying times, and we can walk through really scary things, but they're opportunities to trust God. And if we want to come through our battles stronger, not weaker, we got to know what we believe. We got to acclimate to wherever we're at. Doesn't matter. You know, we may not want to be where God has us right now, but we got to acclimate and then activate. And then we got to trust that God has something to use in this. It's like wax on, wax off. Our trials are training us. He's teaching us how to battle, teaching us how to find the high places, even in the valley of the shadow. And he will not fail us. So we must grow in our faith, not shrink in our trials. Can somebody give me an amen? We must grow in our faith, not shrink in our trials. We're going to pause here. When we come back, we'll keep working our way through the battle acronym so we can come through our trials stronger, not weaker. We'll be back in a minute. You are. Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live every Friday during the month of August. So this is our third Friday. I'm walking through content from my book, Strong in Battle. And we're so grateful each Friday to give away five copies along with a 10-pack of quote cards. Here's one of the quote cards. They're just gorgeous scenes of backpackers, hikers, those kinds of things. And this one says, your goal is to walk into the territory God assigns you and to do so with God-given authority, power, love, and humility. You're on a mission and you've got heaven on your side. You can text the word book if you want in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. So today's kind of theme for the show is how to come through your battles stronger, not weaker, how to grow it through your battles, not shrivel and come through jaded and cynical. Using the word battle as an acronym, I'm walking through each of these words. For these are just sort of strategies that have helped me to really stay on task, on mission, to come through a little more feisty and fiery and grateful that I'm on that I'm with the Lord and He's with me. I'm on the Lord's side and He's for me. So the word B in the acronym battle is to know what you believe. And the word A we've talked about is to acclimate and activate. Instead of wishing you were somewhere else, this is where you are. So acclimate and then find out what faith looks like. How, where's the high ground? What does obedience and faith and hope look like? Find that. And T is to trust that He's training you. Well, the second T in the word battle is to stay tender, teachable, and thankful. And that that represents the abiding life. Remember, Jesus wouldn't even make a move without the Father. How much more ought we abide in the vine? And it's in John 15 where He says, it is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. I've appointed you to bear fruit that lasts. In other words, God has appointed you to bear so much fruit in your life that long after you're gone, your fruit is still bearing fruit. So I'm going to read a little excerpt here from Strong in Battle. One of the reasons we enter into a deep abiding relationship with Jesus, living as He lived and doing what He would do, is because of the price He paid for us. He said and He showed that we were worth dying for. Well, He's worth living for, wouldn't you say? He purchased our freedom with His precious blood and grafted us into His royal family. Our identity is forever changed and secure. And with identity comes privilege. And with privilege comes responsibility. Don't you want to partner with God to see the miraculous come to earth? For years, I prayed that the sick would recover, the depressed would be delivered, the rejected would know that they're actually accepted, the lost would be found, and the righteous would be mobilized into their God-given calling. I'm not satisfied with vanilla Christianity. And the world is desperate to know and experience the miraculous, life-changing power of the gospel, even if they don't know it yet. In case you need some fresh reminders of God's willingness and ability to intervene in the lives of His people, consider these. Moses, a man humbly, wholly submitted to God, miraculously led the Israelites out of slavery. Think about the many miracles God performed along the way. Joseph, a man humbly, wholly submitted to God, was miraculously delivered from prison and placed in the palace to save a nation. Daniel, another man humbly, wholly submitted to God, stayed committed to the Lord in a godless culture, and God elevated him to an essential level of leadership and influence. Ruth, an outsider, a Moabite, a woman humbly and wholly submitted to God, left her homeland to follow a God she could not see but knew in her heart, and God grafted her into the lineage of our Savior. Is that not amazing? Peter, a hasty, self-striving man, humbled, redeemed, and restored, was used by God as a key leader in establishing the early church. Paul, a terrorist and persecutor of Christians, turned radical follower of Christ, turned the world upside down with his bold faith, and God gave us much of the New Testament through him. So there's really no limit to what God will do through a life wholly, humbly devoted to God. He's looking for saints today who are willing to rise this hour and believe him to be the God he declares himself to be. When God searches the world over to find faith in the hearts of men, may he find holy, humble, powerful faith in us. And a few of the reflective questions that I write here, and I'm pretty sure these are going to come in one of the emails if you're doing the book study with us. But I want, you know, if they come in the email, I really want you to sit with them and ponder. Father in heaven, have I in any way wandered from your best path for me? Show me my heart. Have I in my assessments of others crossed over to the side of the accuser? Help me see things from your point of view. I want to intercede with power. What thought patterns repeatedly lead me astray? Give me a new song to sing and faith declarations that strengthen my stance. Lord, in what ways have I limited your power in my life? Grant me vision for what miracle-working power might look like in my life. What if you started to ask the Lord and dared to ask him and started to envision, Lord, if you were to work miracles in and through me, what might that look like? What do you want me to believe you for? Forgive me if I've told this story before. I just don't remember, but it's one of my favorites. But A.W. Tozer, I love his writings, and He one time just pondered and wondered, why is it if God is no respecter of persons, why do some go on to do bold things for God and change the world while others live maybe just ordinary, kind of inconsequential almost lives? And that's not to say people who have big platforms are the ones making a big splash. There are people who live in the quiet nooks and crannies who are going to be the ones most elevated in heaven, just to be clear. But he's saying, you know, some sort of just live in the world and profess Christ and love him, but you don't see much fruit out of their lives, where others, their lives are bursting with fruit. And so he decided to kind of do a historical look, and he looked at the people from Scripture and then people in our history who really just made a massive difference in their day. And he was really awestruck that the differences were as stark as the day is long. You know, one was black, one was white, one was rich, one was poor, one was educated, the other was not educated. But the common denominator that he found was this. He called it spiritual receptivity. He said they developed a lifestyle of listening for God. And when the Lord spoke, they did something about it. To me, that is a real indicator of the abiding life, that God's voice, his influence is center to our whole lives, that we abide in him so much that we're listening for his voice, we're waiting for the prompts, and we're quick to obey. You know, God is so good. And the more that we start to see him really move in miraculous and powerful ways, and even in nuanced ways that may not seem miraculous to the untrained eye, but you're like, I know that was God. That was so personal. It meant so much to me. And others may miss it, but I saw it. And you start to kind of start to count those things and you connect them to a loving Father, you're reminded that you're tethered to a good God. So as you stay tender and teachable, you'll actually become thankful. And to me, that is your superpower. That's the secret sauce of coming through your battle stronger and not weaker. I love that. And you've heard Maria, who's been on our show before. She says, and if you're not fully convinced that goodness and mercy are actually chasing after you, well, then something in you is either out of alignment and or something in you needs to be healed. Maybe it's both. Maybe something in you needs to be healed, and that's why something's out of alignment. But if you notice that you don't sense goodness and mercy are chasing after you, ask the Lord, what in me needs to be healed? What thought patterns do I have on repeat that are actually out of alignment with your word? I want to come back into alignment. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. So let's rehearse again. We're looking at the word battle. B is know what you believe. A is acclimate and activate. T is trust that he's training you. And the next T is to stay tender, teachable, and thankful. All righty, ready? The L is listen for his voice and then lean in to his strength. So many, many years ago, I was speaking at a retreat, and I want to tell you, Kevin and I purposely crossed denominational lines. And there are some people who are irritated by that because they, you know, I've even heard people on the show here where they text in, pick a lane and stick with it. But no, we're not going to do that, because I know that in heaven, you're going to have friends from different denominational streams, biblical denominational streams, but you're going to have, you know, charismatics and evangelicals, Calvinists and Arminian. You're going to have them. There are saints in these streams. And we've got dear friends in these very different streams. And so we go kind of out of our way, because we want to build bridges in these different denominations, because heaven's going to be tribes and tongues. Can somebody give me an amen? Come on. Anyway, so this particular event. It was many years ago. The context, I will tell you, happened to be a very, very conservative group. They didn't clap to music. Their pastor didn't even want them clapping to music. They didn't want any kind of expression. So just to say, they were kind of shut down a little bit. They were dear, tender, wonderful, just not very expressive. All right. And I do something once in a while at my events called listening prayer. Thank you, Steve. Yeah, I can always count on Steve to give me an amen. But this listening prayer, I always do the caveat or qualifier that you're going to write out a prayer as if the Lord is speaking to you. Now, let me just say, you're not writing the Bible. The Bible's already been written. But if you're only speaking in prayer and never listening, you're missing out on some of the best conversation. Jesus himself said, my sheep know me. They know my voice. They know what I sound like. Now, I wouldn't suggest anybody make a practice of listening prayer if you're not always in the Word of God, because as you're in the Word of God, you start to know what the voice of God sounds like. Otherwise, you'll just be tempted to manipulate your faith and match your life. You'll write things out like, Really, go get the Corvette, even though you can't afford it. I want you to have it. And that's not what I'm talking about. So I'm kind of given this caveat at this event going, you know, we're not going to manipulate our faith to match our lives. And I know this might be a different practice, but I'm just asking you, you know, we know in part, we see as in a glass dimly, but Jesus did say we know what his voice sounds like. So as we've spent some time in prayer, we're just going to wait. And at the top of their journal page, it said, my precious child, I want you to know that I, just to get them going, writing in first person. And so these women are looking at me like, would you stop talking already? I'm ready to do this. Like they were so excited to see what the Lord would write through them and what he might want to say to them. And this is always just such an amazing, amazing exercise. Well, there was one young woman in the front, and I would say she was probably 20 years old, pretty young, maybe 19, 20 years old. And she was looking at me with the stink eye like you've never seen, like really slit eyes. Her jaw was locked, shaking her head no, like, I hate you. And I could feel the laser beams coming at me. And I noticed her, and I was kind of whispering a prayer under my breath for her. But I was ready to start the exercise, put the music on, and the Lord prompted very clearly, make one more appeal for everybody to participate. So I said, I really believe God wants to speak to each of you today. Just wait on him, trust him, and see what he says. We put the music on. And within moments, that girl with the eyes, the slit eyes and the locked jaw, went to the floor and was wailing and weeping and waving her arms in great expression. If you can imagine how out of context it was. And I rushed down off the stage and I went down and wrapped my arms around her. I said, are you okay? Are you okay? And she says, oh, Jesus, oh, Jesus. And I'm like, what's going on? What's going on? And she says, 3 years ago, 3.5 years ago as a teenager, she said, I got pregnant out of wedlock. And she said, and the leaders of my church pulled me into their office and they said, now you've done it. God will not speak to you for 7 years. And she said, when you told us that you wanted us to do a listening prayer, I hated you because I was going to have to sit and watch everybody else hear from God. Well, I have 3.5 years to go. And she was so upset. But she said, but then you made that appeal one more time. And you said, I just think God has something to say to each and every one of you. Would you please try and just try? And whatever I said. Anyway, she put the pen to paper and she started to write. And what came off of her pen was, that wasn't me. I've missed you. I love you. And she went on the floor and she's wailing and weeping and crying and waving her arms going, I've missed you too. I've missed you too. And it was so out of context. I mean, it was like the woman with the alabaster jar. She was expressing her worship. She was reconciled with God. And I mean, it was just the most amazing, one of the most amazing moments I've ever experienced at an event. I say that to say, the enemy will use whatever source he can to lie to us, because if we are in Christ, nothing can separate us from God's love. Nothing can derail us from our identity in Christ. So he knows that's actually a legal stated fact, but he camps on the assumption and hope that we don't know that. So he'll do whatever he can do to put himself in between us and God, to make us question our identity, to make us question God's goodness, to make us wonder about God's love. But God loves us. He's fiercely committed to us. And as we start to lean in and not presume upon his anger, but to presume upon, not presume upon his goodness, but to lean into his goodness, to trust his love, we will experience his love. That's not to say he doesn't have a side where he hates sin, but he loves us. He hates anything that would destroy us. But the more that we learn to listen for his voice, the more that we will learn to lean in to his strength. And I'm going to tell one more quick story before we go to break here. And this was in one of my older devotional Streams in the Desert. I'm sure you have it too. It's an old classic. I love it. But so I haven't read it in a few years. So this is my paraphrase of that story. And it just hit me at a time when I so needed it. But this woman had a dream. I think she was walking through in her life. She was walking through a dark season of the soul, so to speak. And in the dream, there were three women bowed on their knees. And this woman was standing with an angel. And the angel's like, tell me what you see. And Jesus went up to the first woman who was on her knees and lifted her head and rustled her hair, looked sweetly at her face and said something to her. The next one, he just gave her hair a little rustle. And the third one, he looked away and walked away. And the angel said, what do you see? How do you interpret that? And she said, well, the first one God is very, very pleased with. She's living for him. She's engaged in serving him and obeying him. And God is very happy about that. Jesus is affirming that. And the second one, she's sort of 1 foot in, 1 foot out. And he's affirming the good thing she's done. And the third one, he's disappointed. And the angel said, you couldn't be more wrong. The first one is a baby believer and is relying on a lot of external confirmations that she's on the right track. The second one is maturing, and God is trying to teach her to trust what she's read and to trust the word. And the third one is being trained up for greatness and for leadership, and he's teaching her to trust that the word is true even when it doesn't feel true. And I just think that is such a powerful thing. As we mature in the things of God, there will be seasons of silence, but we must never confuse that with absence. Nothing will ever separate us from his love. So if God is seeming silent, if there's a purpose in it, that means if you're not hearing what God is saying, remember what God has said. Go back and rehearse the things you know he said. As they say, remember in the darkness what he told you in the light. But one last caveat before we go to break here. Sometimes the reason we don't hear him isn't because he's not speaking. It's because we're too busy. We're running to and fro. And he's not going to run up to catch up with us. We have to be still to know that he is God. We need to wait quietly, patiently before him. And the more space we create in our life to hear him, the chances are greater that we will hear him. We're going to pause here. We'll be back in a minute.
Hey, this is Carmen LaBurge, host of Mornings with Carmen on the Faith Radio Network. I'm seeking to reconnect the eternal with the everyday. I do that in part through conversations about today's relevant issues, hopefully helping to equip you to bring Christ back into every conversation in your life. You can subscribe to my daily podcast at myfaithradio.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
I heard a small voice say your debt's been paid by somebody else, and now I'm walking.
Thanks for tuning into Susie Larson Live. We are setting aside the Fridays during this month to walk through the content of my new book, Strong in Battle, Why the Humble Will Prevail. This really feels like one of the most important books for me that I've written. And we're giving away 5 copies each Friday, thanks to Bethany House, and we're kind of partnering with them. Along with each of you who win a book, we'll get a 10-pack of these gorgeous quote cards. They're so beautiful, scenic kind of hiking scenes. This one says, if you could see the end from the beginning, your confidence in God and your courage in battle would soar. Today we're covering, just using the word battle as an acronym, about kind of practical ways to come through your battles so that you're stronger, not weaker, so that you're bolder and braver, not shriveled and jaded and cynical and fearful. And so we've been using the word battle as an acronym. The B is to know what you believe. And we started out by just standing on God's word, knowing, reminding your soul and growing in the knowledge of your security in him, his faithfulness to you, where you can say, I know him. I know him. And because I know him, I'm secure in him. I'm called. I'm anointed. I'm appointed. And then A is to acclimate and activate. We kind of get thrown off our game when we spend too much time saying, this isn't where I want to be. This isn't what I expected my life to look like. Well, this is where we are. So we acclimate and then we activate our faith and go, Lord, what does faith look like here? What should my next steps be? And then T is to trust that he's training you. And then the other T is to stay teachable and tender and thankful. It's just that abiding life. You know, we can get hard-hearted when we're walking through the long battle. And so if we can stay tender, teachable, we'll become grateful people. And that's really the best way. That's just the best posture for God to teach us as we're walking through. And then the L in the word battle is listening for his voice and leaning into his strength. And I was talking about if there's times where it seems that he's silent, then go back and remember and rehearse what we heard him say. Remember in the darkness what he said in the light. But also create space in your life so you can hear him. I want to say one more thing about listening for his voice. When I was getting ready to write this book, I polled people on Facebook, what would you want me to cover if I were to write a book about this? And a lot of people asked about discernment. So I have a chapter on discernment. And in that opening of that chapter, this is what I say. And this was actually an exercise we did with our youth group when we were volunteer youth pastors years ago. You're part of the underground church. You've been discovered and you're going to prison. You have no Bible, just a pen and a pad of paper. What do you know about God? What do you remember about the Bible? As we ask the kids in our youth group this question, are there worship songs that have imprinted on your soul in a way that compels you to look beyond your circumstances and trust God? Write down everything you know so you don't forget it. So these kids were so wide-eyed and curious. We gave them a pad of paper and a pen, and you can't sit with your friends. Go off by yourself. What do you know? If you're suddenly thrown into prison because you were discovered in the underground church, what's in you? Have you been listening? I mean, what's in you? You don't have to even give perfect reference or verses, but anything that is anyhow related to your faith, to Jesus, to the Word, write it down. It was so interesting to watch because some of the kids who'd grown up in Christian homes were kind of goofing around and not taking it seriously. Some of the kids who came from troubled homes had their faces in their pad and they were just writing their hearts out. But the big surprise for Kevin and I after was when two kids who were raised in pretty solid Christian home, they were good friends, and they came up and they were weeping. And they said, "We have mocked our parents. We have rolled our eyes at our parents, and we have not been grateful for our parents. But the stuff that they've been teaching us, even when our attitude is wrong, went in, and it stuck. And we have something to show for it. We need to apologize to our parents." And I thought, wow, that is really powerful. And I'll go on in that chapter to talk about discernment. You know, I think it was Charles Spurgeon. Yeah, he said, discernment is not a matter of simply telling the difference between right and wrong. Rather, it's telling the difference between right and almost right. And when someone claims to have the gift of discernment, how do you not know if they're speaking from their personal bias or experience and cultural comforts? And this is one of the things I go after in this chapter is there are times when some may say that's not God because it's not something they're comfortable with, but it really is more about preference or bias or cultural comfort. Maybe you're in a less expressive church and you go into a more expressive church and you go, this isn't God. Well, are you sure? Because, or maybe it's a preference. And the gift of discernment is really discerning between, you know, what is of the Spirit of God and what is of the enemy of our soul. You know, wolves in sheep clothing are planted in believers to lead people astray and destroy the church. Yet I hear this phrase flung around all the time, false teacher, towards Bible-believing teachers who just maybe land somewhere else than others do because of secondary issues. Now, that said, there are some very alarming biblical departures these days, but there is room on those secondary issues to differ without calling someone a false teacher. And I think it's just done such damage to the body of Christ when we call something discernment that might just be bias or preference or comfort. You know, some people like liturgical. Some people like expressive. Some people like some more order. But given that, you know, look at how Jesus disrupted every town he went into, not in chaos. But I mean, there are times when he, you know, performed miracles and people asked him to leave. You know, think of the demoniac who is a danger to himself and the whole community, and he was, you know, chained up. Jesus puts him in his right mind, sets him free, and he's dressed and clothed and sane. And they're like, "Ah, oh, we don't want any of that here. You need to leave." So, you know, we have to, you know, even though we can be okay with some of our comforts and preferences based on how we were raised or how God wired us, we can't be prideful in our assessments. I think we need to be humble and very careful. Because if you really want the gift of discernment, then you really are willing to step into out of your comfort zone to say, "God, I've only tasted you, and I want all of you. I want everything that I can have that you won for me." And that means he's going to push the bounds on your comfort level somewhat. So I say this in that chapter. You can know the Word and still miss the person of Jesus Christ. Knowing the Word apart from the person petrifies the heart. Knowing the person of the Word, well, that purifies the heart. There's more in that chapter about discernment, but I just think that's super important when it comes to hearing God's voice, because he just might surprise you. If you ask him to speak to you, he just might surprise you, and I hope he does. All right, so that's listen for his voice. Finally, we are at the E in the word battle. How do you come through your trial stronger and not weaker? You engage for the sake of eternity. And you can visit Romans 8, but you know the passage says, "What we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory that will be revealed to us in due time." That's, again, my paraphrase. I probably should just read the passage, but I'm watching my clock here. "What we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory that he'll reveal to us later. For all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who his children really are." And think about that. Your trials are achieving for you and for God a glory that you can't even imagine. And if you can get a vision in your battle, you could see that every trial, every blessing, every moment of your life is packed with eternal possibilities. So as I wrap, I'm going to share this faith declaration that I wrote in the book. And next Friday, I'm going to really unpack it a little bit more. But I want you to hear it. As a citizen of the heavenly kingdom, an heir of God, a joint heir with Christ, filled with the Spirit of the living God, I speak with precision. I pray with power. I walk in authority. I am blessed and beloved, bold and brave, called and courageous. Because I know God is with me, I will triumph over my enemy, and I will stand with Jesus on that final day. And here's one more faith declaration that came at the end of one of my chapters. Because I'm filled with the Spirit of the living God, I continually walk in His way. I'm sensitive to His Spirit. I know the word that sustains the weary. I speak and captives are set free. Each and every morning I meet with my God and He speaks to me. My heart is receptive. I will not refuse correction and direction. I'm ever always listening to the Spirit of God within me. I pray you found some encouragement here today. I want us so much to be equipped, especially as we're heading into the fall season, as I just think things are going to amp up a little bit more. We need to be battle ready, have our hearts tender before God, tough against the enemy. We got to trust God's love and keep on keeping on. Love and appreciate you so much. We'll leave that drawing open for a little bit longer. If you want in on the drawing, just text the word book to 877-933-2484, and we'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Susie Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.